as we continue really beginning our journey through this book together. Paul, continuing to write to the Romans, said, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, by God's will, the way will be open for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but am prevented from doing so until now, in order that I may have a harvest among you, just as I have had with the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to the Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome." Here and to read him God's word, his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word to us, and we thank you for the power of this book of Romans and the power of your word. Lord, we ask that through your word again this morning that you would speak to our hearts, that we would hear from you today. That whatever is on our mind, Lord, right now, whatever concerns and burdens we have, that we would just lay them at the foot of your cross. And that through your word, Lord, you would just speak to our hearts, open our ears to hear and receive from you today. That, Lord, all those distractions in our mind would be taken, that we can see you right now and receive from you, your heart, what you have for us this morning. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever had a desire to go somewhere and to travel, but it seems like you, when you do, you have a hard time getting there? There's all kinds of obstacles in your way. Or you've looked forward to a trip for a long time and you've been planning it and you make all your plans for this trip and you're looking forward to it. You're counting the days that it just seems like something happens and you can't make it. Or you're on your way to the trip and you have all kinds of obstacles and challenges that are, and you think like you're never, ever going to get to your destination. You ever have one of those journeys? I think I'm just never going to get there. It seems like it's taken forever. Well, that's how the Apostle Paul felt. And there is a time in our country after Lewis and Clark made their discovery and the Oregon Trail was opened up to the West. People started leaving and moving out to Oregon, out to the West. They had that Oregoner bust, and they faced all kinds of obstacles that they've gone across, loading everything in their Conestoga wagon amidst many difficulties going across the prairie and all the obstacles and challenges they faced. But yet they were determined, and they had a longing to reach Oregon. And whatever it took, they were going to pursue and make sure that they got to the end of their destination. It was a tough journey. Some of them didn't make it, but they had that determination, Oregon or bust. To me, one of my favorite destinations is this. Tennessee or bust, that's my longing. I want to get down there regardless of what it takes to get to the mountains. They keep calling my name and whatever it takes to get down there. But the Apostle Paul had the same kind of experience. He had a deep longing and a desire to visit Rome, and he wanted to go to Rome to see the Christians there and to visit with them and to teach them the gospel and to teach them some teaching. Because remember, as we learned last week, the Church of Rome was established by lay people. They had not had a pastor there to give them teaching and instruction. And so Paul felt called and had to earn a desire to go to Rome that he may teach them and instruct them in the faith. And his desire, but every time he kept wanting to go, something kept standing in his way and kept making the journey difficult. It was that led him to write this letter. Just to review, our series that we're calling Romans Being Right in a World Gone Wrong, discovering how we can be right and live righteously in a world around us that is so going the wrong direction. But our theme, just reminding again, the theme of Romans is the righteousness of God. We're going to see that righteousness of God lived out in many different ways how we receive that righteousness of God, why it is needed, how it is provided, how that righteousness grows within us, and how that is lived out and displayed. We're going to see that theme throughout the book. And again, remember the purpose why Paul was writing this was to present a clear understanding of the gospel and introduce himself to the Roman church in preparation for a visit there. We're getting ready to see that now as we're in this part of the book together. We're still in the introduction, and last week I had given you an outline, and if you weren't here last week, I have extra copies of the outline you can pick up on the table. But we're still in that introduction part of the book where Paul is still introducing himself and why he had written. And last week we saw the basis of him giving his credentials. Today we see his introduction to them as his longing to come and to visit the believers at Rome. And the point of these verses is simply this. If you don't remember anything else, the point of what Paul's trying to make is that God's way is always best. And he knows what he is doing. Do you believe that? And his way is the best way. His time is the best time. And we can trust him. And he knows what he is doing, and we can rely on that. That is the theme and the point of these verses before us. And this part of the introduction is Paul was sharing his longing and his desire to go to Rome. Because as many times he desired to go there, it wasn't happening. And even when Paul thought that he was going to go to Rome, it didn't happen in the way that he thought it would, as we'll see. But as we think of that theme, that God knows what he is doing and his way is the best way, there's three principles from this introduction that we can learn from these verses to apply to our life. And because God's way is always best, first we need to lift up prayers of submission. And lift up prayers to submission into him in our life because he knows. And we need to submit to his purpose and plan. Paul says, I thank my God through Christ Jesus for all of you because your faith is being reported around the world. God, whom I serve in my whole heart in preaching the gospel, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. Paul lifted up prayers of submission as he was thinking of the Romans and his desire to go there, to see them and to share the gospel and to teach them. He lifted up prayers to the Lord on their behalf. Prayers of submission with thanksgiving and gratitude. And as we pray before the Lord, he wants us to come before him with prayers of thanksgiving. And Paul did that when he thought what he was giving thanks for was the thankfulness of God's gratitude. Notice he says, I thank my God. Paul's first prayer was thanksgiving to God. And how often sometimes do we jump into our prayers and we forget to thank him? And beginning with prayers of thanksgiving and gratitude for God, for his goodness in our life, for his daily blessings, for all that he has provided, for who he is, for his majesty, for his grace that he has bestowed to us that we don't deserve. And Paul says, I thank my God as I come before him in prayer. I'm coming before him with thanksgiving and gratitude for the goodness of God. Thank my God through Jesus Christ, because it is through Jesus Christ that all those blessings are received. It is through Jesus Christ that that love has been poured out and demonstrated. It is through Jesus Christ that that grace was bestowed. And coming before him with those prayers and gratitude and thanksgiving to God for his goodness and for what he has done for us. But he also prayers of thanksgiving as well for the others, for their faithfulness. Notice what he said when he not only prayed to thank God for his goodness, he said, I also give thanks for you. He said, God is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray at last by now that will be open for me to come to see you. But he said, I give thanks to God for you because your faith is being reported in verse 8 all over the world. Paul heard about the witness of the church and the Christians gathered at Rome and their life. And their witness, even though Paul had not met them personally, he had heard about their faithfulness. And it was reported all around the world how faithful they were. And Paul was thankful for what God was doing in their life. Do you know that your life is a blessing, and God can use your life to be a blessing to reach a lot of other people? And giving thanks for the blessings and the faithfulness of God and those that have blessed you and those who God has used in your life, and their example of faithfulness has been a blessing in your life. Being gratitude, being thankful for what others have done and the encouragement that they brought our life into us. Lifting up prayers of thanksgiving and gratitude. But also we lift up prayers of submission because God often answers prayers in ways we don't expect. We can bring our requests and our prayers to the Lord and lay them at His feet and always surrender to His will. But we can ask in Jesus' name. But sometimes the things we ask for may not always be the best thing for us. And it's just like a parent. When children ask parents for something, it may not always be in their best interest. And when it isn't, the parent will say no, because that's not in the best interest for you. And you know, our Father is the same way. And sometimes He'll answer prayers, maybe not no, but maybe in another way that we wouldn't expect, and bring the answer to happen. And we thought, boy, where'd that come from? And we never expected that, but that was the working of the Lord. So it was with Paul. Paul said in his little prayer in verse 10, he said, "In my prayers and at all times, I pray that at last, at now at last, by God's will," he surrendered it to God's will, "that by God's will, the way will be open for me to come to you." And Paul's prayer was that God would provide a way that he would be able to go to Rome and visit the Christians there, that God would finally make it happen, that he would be able to arrive there safely, and God would give him safe passage to Rome and provide the way that he can finally be there to see the Christians. Did God answer that prayer? You know the story, did he answer that prayer? He did, but did he answer it the way Paul thought he would? No, if you know the book of Acts, he didn't answer it the way Paul thought he would. Yes, he arrived at Rome. But Paul prayed to visit Rome so he could teach the Christians there. But when he arrived at Rome, he arrived as a prisoner. He arrived in chains. And he was in a Roman prison cell as a prisoner of Rome, appealing to Caesar his case. Paul prayed for a safe trip to Rome and safe passage, and he did arrive safely. But only after being arrested, being slapped in the face, being placed in jail, being taken before the authorities to stand trial, being shipwrecked in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, and being bitten by a poisonous snake. Now, you think, whoa, is that what you would have expected? But that's how God answered the prayer. He arrived safely, but not in the way that he thought. And that's why we need to submit our prayers to the Lord in His will, because sometimes He'll answer prayers in a way that we never thought He would. And sometimes it can be far greater, in ways far greater than we ever expected that He would answer. Or maybe it'd be a completely different direction. But yet in His will and in His goodness, He knows what's best. And when we trust in Him, don't lean on our understanding, He will direct our path. And He will make it straight for us. And He will show us the way to go. So lift up prayers of submission because God knows what He's doing. Secondly, because He knows what He's doing, follow the plan of God. Paul said in verses 11 to 13, he says, "I long to see you. This is my plan. It's my plan that I long to see you, that I may come and impart some spiritual gift to you and to make you strong, to encourage you in your faith." I want to come there, and my plan is to come to your church so I can teach you and instruct you so you'll grow in your faith. And also, he says, so that you can encourage me, we can be mutually encouraged by each other. But he said, "I don't want you to be unaware, brothers, that I had planned many times to come to you." He said, many times I had made plans and put it down, and I'm going to go to Rome. That's my plan. But he said, it hasn't happened. He said, every time I've done so, I've been prevented from doing so until now. But he said, in order that I may come and have a harvest among you, just as I've had among the other Gentiles. We need to follow the plan of God, because God's plan is good. Because we can make plans, but God determines the outcome. Paul made his plans, but the Lord determined the outcome of when Paul was going to arrive at Rome and how. And it's okay for us to make our plans, and we need to, but we always need to submit them to the will of God. That's what Paul learned here. He said, if it's God's will, I'm praying that I'll be able to come to you, because every other time I planned it, something's happened and I've been prohibited from doing so. And making your plans, because we can plan and God wants us to, but always laying that under the will and advice of God, because he determines the outcome. I come across this quote and I thought of Paul on this quote. When I come across it, it says, God will wreck your plans when he sees that your plans are about to wreck you. And that's happened to Paul. He ended up in a shipwreck on his way to Rome. It wasn't how he planned. But God, if we're planning something and it's not what God wants because it's not in our best for us, he can wreck those plans and bring about something else. Always submitting it to his will. James, writing to the Christians at his time, said in James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17, he said, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there and carry on business and make money. He said, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag, and all such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. And James says, we make our plans, but we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We always have to lay them under the will of God and say, if it's his will, it will happen. And Paul learned that, and follow the plan of God, because we can make plans, but God brings about the outcome. He's the one that determines our steps, and he's the one we trust in. Follow his plan, because God uses the no's in our life for his good purpose. Paul said, I've been wanting to come, and my plan was to come to see you, but I've been prohibited time and time again. And God kept saying, no, not now. Now's not the time. This isn't the way. This isn't that way I have for you. It's not now. You're not to go to Rome at this point. And God would use those no's for a good purpose, because Paul's impassioned desire to see the Romans, his deep desire to get to Rome and to teach them, and God's sovereign no in his hand withholding him at this point caused Paul to sit down and to write this letter to the Romans, which became a treasure of the gospel. It wouldn't have happened if God would have prohibited him. I mean, if he would have went to the Romans and taught them. But because he couldn't get there, he sat down and wrote this letter that he wanted to teach them. And we have this treasure of the word of God because of it. And God uses those no's for a good purpose. Do you believe that? And those times in your life and mine when he says, no, not now, maybe later, but what you're planning right now, I'm putting a stop to it. No for now, because I have a good purpose in mind out of it that you can't see. And trust me, Paul would later on, and we'll see it in this book, but Paul will later on write these words. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We believe that? Even the no's have a good purpose for the Lord, because he uses them to be a source of blessing to others. Because Paul couldn't get to Rome when he desired to, he sat down and wrote this letter, and it became a blessing to the church at Rome. And the book of Romans is a blessing to us. And God sometimes will put those no's in our life so that through those times we can be a blessing to God in the midst of it. That as we share those stories of what God has done, it can be a blessing and encouragement to others. He can use our life that way. Also, he uses those no's to bring glory to himself and to gain the glory. And the Lord was glorified through Paul's life, even in his journey to Rome and in the midst of the shipwreck and all that happened. God's glory was revealed through Paul's life. And he uses it, the nose, to help us grow in our faith, to help us trust him and to grow and rely on him better and understand his goodness. So he uses those nose for a good purpose. So follow his plan. Yield it to his will. Paul said, I planned to come many times, but it hasn't happened. God hasn't allowed it. But I'm trusting in his good purpose. Lift up prayers of submission, follow the plan of God, and because God knows what he's doing, the third thing we see is demonstrate passion of spirit. The passion of the Holy Spirit and the passion that God puts in our heart, live that out and seek to do what he's called us to do. Paul then concludes this part of the introduction by saying, I am obligated both to the Greeks and the non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. That is why I am also so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. Paul said, I have this eagerness and obligation and the passion that the Lord has put in me. And that's why I want to get to Rome. That's why I want to follow. That's why I want to see you so badly, he says. And God puts that passion of his spirit in us and to fulfill our obligation. Paul's obligation was to take the gospel to Rome, to both Jews and Gentiles. He said, Greeks, non-Greeks, the foolish, the wise, basically everybody. God called Paul to be a missionary to the Gentiles, to take his word to the nations. And Paul said, I'm obligated to fulfill what God has called and put that passion in my heart to do. And also, he said, I have that passion because of God's love for me. He says, the love of Christ compels me to do this. But the obligation that Christ has put in our heart because of his love for us. Paul will later on say in Romans 12, because of the mercies of God, he beseeches us to give ourselves back. And because of what God has done for you and me through his son Jesus, because the grace that he has poured out on you and me, and because of his forgiveness that he has granted freely, we have an obligation to return ourselves back to him, don't we? We have an obligation to have that passion in our heart for him and that obligation to love him and to share him with those around us, to fulfill that obligation that he has given us to do. And also to be eager to serve. Paul said, I have that passion. That's why I am so eager, he said, to preach the gospel to you in Rome too. I have that eagerness to come to Rome because of what Christ has done and the passion he's put in my heart through the Spirit. Because of the passion of Christ and his Spirit, we should be eager to serve him and not sit on the sidelines. But whatever gift he's given us, use it for our fullness for him, that others can be reached for Christ. And every one of us do our part, whatever gift it is. The gospel is advanced and people come to know Christ and the church is built up and we grow. But to be eager to serve Christ because he has given it for us, not to sit on the sidelines. Paul says, I'm eager. I have that eagerness and that's what drives me. That's what compels me. So God's way is always best. He does know what he's doing. So lift up those prayers of submission to him. Follow his plan because he knows what's best and demonstrate passion of spirit. Next week, we're going to conclude the introduction by looking at verses 16 and 17, the last part of the introduction, as we see really the motivation that drove Paul and the whole theme of the book emphasized in those two verses. But things may not go the way we plan or hope they will. But we can trust God to know that his plan is always best. Because he does and will often answer prayers in ways that we do not expect. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your working in our life. And we can make plans and we can lay out what we think the future has in store for us, or where we think we will be, or where we should go. but it always needs to be submitted to your will because, Lord, you know what's best. And we can make the plans, but you're the one who determines the outcome. The scripture says the lot is cast in the lap, but the decision is of the Lord. And so, Father, we look to you and we submit. And we can make our plans, but we always submit them to your will because you know what's best for us. Your way is the best way. And Paul would later on acknowledge that even though his plan and desire to get to Rome didn't happen in the way he thought or desired, but in the end, he would have said, your way is the best. And Lord, that's true with us. And we thank you that you answer prayers, all prayers, and sometimes you answer them in ways that we don't ever expect or ever think of. But you do that because you have a higher and a good purpose that we cannot see or understand at the time. And you did that in Paul's life, and you've done that in our lives too. We all can bear testimony of how you've answered prayers for us in ways we never would have expected, and that we never would have thought, and it wouldn't have happened if it wouldn't have been for you. So, Lord, we submit our prayers to you and your will in thanksgiving and gratitude for who you are, for what you've done for us in the past and what you will continue to do, and how you've used the lives of others, Lord, to be a blessing and encouragement to us. And, Lord, help us as well to live out of passion of heart and spirit the obligation that we have of living for you because you've given everything for us. Because of your grace that you bestowed upon us, Lord, we have to give it all back to you and to be eager to serve you and not to sit on the sidelines, but to use and serve the gifts that you've given us and to use them faithfully to you and for you until the day you call us home. So, Lord, thank you for this book, your word, what it teaches us about how to live in a righteous way. How we need that righteousness and how we live it out. And we thank you for the power of the gospel ever at work, transforming us and making us more like you. And we ask this prayer through Christ in whom we pray. Amen.